I want to turn to four passages of Scripture, well known to us all. The first in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John his brother and brings them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. And lo, Moses and Elias appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good we should be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, for thee one, for Moses one, and one for Elias. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Hear him. And the disciples, hearing it, fell upon their faces and were greatly terrified. And Jesus, coming to them, touched them and said, Rise up and be not terrified. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. Now in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, perhaps we could read from verse 55 of chapter 23. And women who had come along with him out of Galilee, having followed, saw the sepulchre and how his body was placed. And having returned, they prepared aromatic spices and ointments and remained quiet on the Sabbath, according to the commandment. But on the morrow of the Sabbath, very early indeed in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the aromatic spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And when they had entered, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were in perplexity about it, that behold, 2 men suddenly stood by them in shining raiment. And as they were filled with fear, and bowed their faces to the ground, they said to them, Why seek ye the living one among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you, being yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinners, and be crucified, and rise the 3rd day. And they remembered his words, and returning from the sepulchre, related all these things to the 11, and to all the rest. Now in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, perhaps we could read from verse 6. The Acts chapter 1 verse 6, They therefore being come together, asked him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that thou restorest the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not yours to know times or seasons, which the Father has placed in his own authority. But ye will receive power, the Holy Spirit having come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And having said these things, he was taken up, they beholding him, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing into heaven as he was going, behold also 2 men stood by them in white clothing, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do ye stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, thus shall thus come in the manner in which ye have beheld him going into heaven. They may return to Jerusalem, the mount called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey off. And when they were coming to the city, they went up to the upper chamber where were staying both Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Jude the brother of James. These gave themselves all with one accord to continual prayer with several women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And lastly, in chapter 3, verse 1, And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they placed every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who were going into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, asked to receive alms. And Peter, looking steadfastly upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, Silver and gold I have not, but what I have, This give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. And having taken hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him, that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And as he heard Peter and John, all the people ran together to him in the portico, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Whereas this afternoon we had in mind and considered together happily women in the Old Testament and Mary, of course, the mother of Jesus, I thought we might just consider briefly and very simply some men in the New Testament. I expect you'll have noticed already that in each of these scriptures, two men are mentioned. Not specifically in the first scripture, but there are two, there's Moses and Elias. And that was initially an impression I had to follow on what we had this afternoon. Men in glory, who were there free and able to speak to the Lord Jesus. It says in another passage about his departure that he is about to accomplish, about his death. But there were two men, Old Testament worthies, who appeared to them in Matthew's Gospel, that is, Peter, James and John. Persons who literally saw the Lord Jesus transfigured before them. The wonder of the King, the glory of the King in Matthew's Gospel. The one who, Matthew's Gospel speaks of the King in various ways, the city of the great King. And Matthew refers in many ways to the kingship, the glory of Christ. And here he was transfigured before them. It's a wonderful passage. And I love what Peter says in his second letter. I've often referred to it. I'll refer to it again and just read it, because it's so important to me. He says, we, not I, but we, have not made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, following cleverly imagined fables, plenty of those about, in Greek times and Roman times, plenty of them. You only look at the literature of that time, there are plenty of fables, and some have got certain texts, so to speak, certain themes in them which are quite interesting. But Peter says, no, we aren't following that sort of thing in his day. We aren't following cleverly imagined fables. But I love these words. Having been eyewitnesses of his majesty. His majesty. That's the majesty of Christ. The one whom Peter loved. True, he denied him, but Peter loved him. And as he comes to the end, towards the end of his pathway, he's full of appreciation of the one of whom we've read in Matthew 17. We were witnesses of his majesty. And he goes on to speak of his own impression of what Matthew records for us. He received from God the Father honour and glory, such a voice being uttered to him by the excellent glory. What language is this, if you think of the greatness of Christ, which is filling Peter's soul? May the greatness of Christ fill our souls, and may we be consistent with these men who are witnesses of the glory of Christ. This voice we heard uttered from heaven, being with him on the holy mountain. I think whilst we might say positionally, geographically, they were with him on the holy mountain. Somehow or another, I read into this, I hope it's right, that by the time he writes his letter, he was with him in spirit, and in his outlook and feelings and affections, we were with him. I love this passage, but I just referred to it simply, and I want to be very brief this evening, for the sake of us all in one way, just simply to speak of these two men, Moses and Elias, and the witnesses too, it's Peter, James and John, men who were equal, seeing something of the glory of Christ. They had to be adjusted, how often we have to be adjusted in our course. But the conclusion of this is the passage we've read in Matthew 17, Jesus coming up touched them. Oh, thank God for the touches of Jesus. Mm. We had the touches this afternoon, I think, in a certain sense. The touch of the Lord Jesus. Mm. And he touched them. He says so considerately, rise up, be not terrified. There's nothing harsh about the way the Lord treats his lovers. Mm. He just tenderly serves them. lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. That's a lovely conclusion to my mind, that the service, God's arrangements, say put it that way, the service of Christ was, whilst other men did come into their vision, and men have come into our vision, sometimes in the scriptures it speaks even of men as trees walking, but we'll leave that. Here, the result of this little passage is they saw no one but Jesus alone. To my mind, that's a fine conclusion in this wonderful passage. May we just have that impression as we leave this first passage of Scripture, seeing no one but Jesus alone. I turn quickly and briefly to Luke 23:24. And there, you might say, oh, well, it's referring to angels. And perhaps it was, in a certain sense, that we have two men who are witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. I want you to remember this, especially the younger people, that these witness, the idea of two men, I think, in Scripture, is a witness, an assured witness to things. And if there's anything that we ought to be perfectly sure about in our minds, is the physical resurrection of Jesus. It's challenged in Christendom. I know there was a time when I used to think in a mystical sort of way that, well, I suppose he was a spirit. But then Luke tells us, a spirit, and the Lord Jesus says it, according to Luke, a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me having. Handle me and see. What consideration of the Lord Jesus as to the very reality of the man who'd come out of death. I stress this because it's something that I suppose faith alone can lay hold of. That we have a link with a man who not only died for our sins according to the scriptures, he not only was buried, but he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared unto many. And last of all, Paul says, he appeared unto me as one born out of due time. Lovely expression, that he just realizes in the wonderful grace of God, he appeared to a man like Paul, Saul of Tarsus, that the resurrection of Jesus, two men are bearing witness to it. This passage again is one I love. Why seek ye the living one? It's so appealing to me. These men say, why seek ye the living one? The living one? Jesus, of course. Why seek ye the living one amongst the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you, being yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered up, delivered into the hands of sinners and be crucified, and rise the third day. That is what our Saviour's done. He's been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And there's an adequate witness. That's the word I was seeking just now. There's adequate witness to the fact that Jesus truly came out of the grave and was seen as a living, glorious man. Someone referred this afternoon to our link with a man in the glory. I read something somewhere a little while ago by a clergyman in this Church of England, a very good little booklet. I think our brother Mark read it last weekend in Bedford. And approved of it, so it's all right to quote it. But in the preface, this man says something to the effect, he was staggered as a young man to find that there were Christians who genuinely believed they had a link with a man out of death. He couldn't believe it. And he thought, well, for 12 months I'll watch these people and see how they behaved. And for 12 months he watched them, and he came to the conclusion there was something different about these persons who had a living link with a man who was himself alive in glory. And this man came to know the Lord as his Saviour, and it's a very interesting little booklet that I had at home, which I rather value. But a link with a man in glory, and these two men say, why seek ye the living one amongst the dead? He's not here, he is risen. And then he reminds them of the Lord, the words of the Lord Jesus. And it's going quite quickly and simply to these other scriptures. In Acts 1, two men again, who speak not only of the resurrection of Jesus, but the glorious ascension of a man who was received up in glory. That's another expression in the scriptures. I used to think it was into glory, but I think Mr. Darby's translation said he was received up in glory. That's the manner of his receiving up. Everything relating to the man out of death is glorious, and he was received up in glory. And here in Acts 1, we've got two more men. All right, you say they appeared in white clothing, they must have been angels, but the scripture says two men stood by them in white clothing, Why stand ye looking into heaven? You could understand them looking into heaven, couldn't you? I think I can. They'd loved Jesus, the Lord Jesus. He'd been a father to them. He cared for them. He'd been moving in and out amongst them. They must have been quite shocked in one way, unless, of course, it may be I'm saying too much. They had grasped the scriptures, but there they are, looking into heaven. Why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven shall thus come in the manner in which ye have beheld him going into heaven. That's another thing, the coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus draws nigh. I say it soberly, dear brethren, the coming of the Lord isn't delayed, so to speak, except that God would have all men to be saved. But we're not to give up hope or trust. It's the hope of the believer, the coming of Jesus. And these two men give witness that he was received up in this glorious way. And finally, and I know I've been quite brief, I wanted to be, in this chapter further on, we have two men who are named. Reference is made to it this afternoon. Two men who are named, Peter and John. This meeting. What have you got? What have I got? They say here, silver and gold I have not, but what I have. What have you got? It's firmly in your soul. What I have, this give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk. And he did. He rose up and walked, and more than that, you can say quite simply, he was found in full fellowship with them. He held them, and he was walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, etc. And as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico. There he was, a man secured, a witness, you might say, to the power of the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk. The despised one in Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, thank God for the Nazarene. The place of reproach, perhaps, or the title of reproach, that Jesus the Nazarene, rise up and walk. And having taken hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. These are wonderful passages. I think that I've only referred to them very briefly, very simply. But I want you to go away with the impression of what these two men in each of these passages convey to us. May the Lord just seal his home to us. His namesake.